Right-hander Albert Suarez on the mound for Baltimore. In his first pitch, Jose Altuve drills it deep to left center field. It sends back Kowser at the wall, looking up. See you later! Off the community leader's side. The first pitch, leadoff homer. And Pena hits it in the air to left center. Racing back on it is Hayes. Onto the warning track, leaps, can't get it. One hops off the fence in front of the visitor's bullpen. Bregman scores. Diaz right behind him. He scores standing up as well.
There were some balls just in the middle part of the plate there early in the count that they were really aggressive on it. Did some damage on him early. I thought he did a decent job after that. He only gave up one run with a sack fly after that first inning, but you know they're squaring balls up on that first inning.
They got a good staff. They pitched really well. Valdez today was on, and when he's on, he's just tough to hit.
Not our best. You know, the first night was a weird one, and then we just got beat the last two by two starters that haven't thrown the ball really good. So, you know, it's one of those unfortunate series. Hope we need to, kind of like at St. Louis, kind of have the same feeling. We just need to bounce back and start a new series tomorrow.
It's Brandon Hyde stating the obvious. He also said after the game they should just flush this one. And it's what you want to do. Flush it. We all know what that means. It was a piece of crap. And you want it out of here. So you flush it. Set it into the septic to never see it again. And ambushed in Houston, I guess, is the best way to say it. Friday night, they're up 3-2. And then all of a sudden, Grayson Rodriguez started serving up batting practice. They were down 14-4. Did you see Friday night's game?
Yes, yeah.
And then I'm like, and full disclosure, my wife and I went out to dinner, and I got a New York strip that was about as tough as Air Jordan, which we'll get to later in the show. And then the Orioles just kept clobbering away. Scored 11 runs. Gunner hit two more. Santander went deep. All right, the bats are still alive. Burns will straighten this out Saturday. And he didn't pitch poorly, got into the seventh inning, gave up a couple of homers there, Chaz McCormick monster shot. The Orioles offense, I don't want to sit here and ramble on, but their only offense last 2 days, Jordan Westberg hitting solo home runs.
Yep.
But as Brandon Hyde said, Houston's pitching last couple of days was outstanding, and you ran into a buzzsaw. Orioles offense was non-existent, 0-for-8. Saturday, Sunday with runners in scoring position. Albert Suarez has the magic worn off there. Nolan, get in here. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is our trusty producer and a diehard Oriole fan. Our colleague, by the way, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. We're back at Pickles, 5:30. Me, Ron Ripken, Joe LaCroix, because Nolan wants the orange carpet rolled out when he shows up. But the Albert Suarez, I don't want to say it's an experiment because he's still going to help the team, but has the league caught up with a guy that hadn't pitched in 7 years at the major league level? Against the Yankees last week, he just couldn't throw the ball over the plate.
Yep.
Yesterday, everything he threw, I mean, first pitch of the game was a souvenir. He just got rocked yesterday early, did settle, got into the fifth.
Right. I mean, I think you heard Hyde there say it, that you know, you're going up against an aggressive team at the plate, and sure, the Astros have been playing under 500, you know, coming into this series, but they still have that championship pedigree. It's still the same guys. Nothing's really changed. They're just extremely injured. So if you give them something to hit, they're going to take a swing at it, and they made them pay. So like you said, all right, it's back-to-back tough outings. You only go 3 2/3 against the Yankees, but, I mean, 5-6 walks in that game, so he could have gone much deeper had he had somewhat of a semblance of control. Mm-hmm. That wasn't necessarily his worst appearance. And like you said, I agree. He can continue to help this team be more ideal if he wasn't in the starting rotation. But circumstances are that you have to call upon him to be one of your five starters because of injuries. I mean, if he was in the bullpen, could be a huge boost for him in one or two inning spurts.
Let's go back to Friday, though. Grayson Rodriguez did not have a stellar outing as he was given an advantage. Orioles were up 3-2. And then, you know, the bats just give Myers with the three-run homer, kind of turned the tide there. But Jacob Webb overused to the point where now fatigue could be setting in. Dylan Tate, he got touched up a little bit yesterday, too. And I'm not making excuses for the Orioles. I'm not in that clubhouse. I don't play on the team. But one scheduled day off in the month of June, you would assume at some point in time mental fatigue. You're traveling. You're coming off the emotional series against the Yankees where you pulled their pants down and spanked them like bad children in the finale where you put up 17. And then you just kind of, I figured 2 out of 3 easy with Grayson and Burns first 2 games. Hey, let's go for the sweep with Suarez. Suarez comes up yesterday trying to avoid the sweep, and it didn't go well. So it was, I'm not making excuses again, because they don't need me to make excuses for them. They're still one of the best teams in baseball. But we'll talk to John Mioli about this coming up 11 o'clock. You know, sooner or later, it's got to catch up with you. Their next day off's not till Monday, July 1st.
Yeah, and you know it's tough, Bob. I mean, the flights, you know, from New York to Houston, they're not short flights, and you know, you're getting in late at night. I'll guarantee you they got in late last night, you know, or later last night too. So, yeah, that travel, it starts to wear on you, especially if the pitchers aren't going deep into games. Like you said, your bullpen starts to get tired. You know,
Webb's been worked a lot.
Yes.
And this might be coming a problem. We were talking about it last week before what happened to him on Friday night. Burns did go throw 7. He did what he did.
Yep.
But Grayson and Suarez didn't really do them any favors. But again, they scored 2 runs in the last 2 games of the series. And that's kind of all she wrote. Houston very aggressive early counts in the Orioles pay. They were bashing away. Astros have now put together a nice little streak, 5-game winning streak that's got them in wild card snippage here for sure. But now you're back home and you're like, it's great to be home. It's going to be like 9,500 degrees this week.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland's coming to town, a team that's on fire right now. They just swept Toronto. Cleveland has a better record than the Orioles as we start this series here on this June 24th. So the Orioles got to get ready for this. And then Texas is coming to town. And by the way, the weekend games, Saturday and Sunday, both night games because they're on national television, which is cool because you're getting a little exposure, ESPN Sunday, Fox on Saturday. But for selfish reasons, Vinny, excuse me, I like my day baseball.
Yeah.
I like my day baseball, and I'm going to whine. Wah, where's my day baseball? Double-edged sword.
Right. The only thing that's a positive about that, Bob, is it's not going to be as hot that for the players, you know. That's the key thing.
I don't care about that. I want to watch my day baseball. Right. By the way, you think we're whining now? Wait till the Ravens season starts when they're playing at prime time 7,000 times a season. But the Orioles, they go to Houston and they get set back with their feathers plucked. The good news is Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Braves, so the Birds only drop a game, so they're still a game and a half out of first. And surprise to no one, Giancarlo Stanton got hurt again with a hammy on Saturday night's national TV game. So he's going to be out for an extended period of time. And happening today, has been reported by multiple outlets now, Hester Kerstad's going to get called up.
Yep. And who's going to, they haven't announced who's going down.
But it could it be Maton, who's out of options. I mean, I know Moonman's been in a prolonged slump here. Here's what I'm asking. And Mike Elias, if you're listening, and apparently he's a loyal listener to Vinny and Haney with Nolan here on 105.7 The Fan. Actually, if I had to bet $5, he's probably never heard this show. And he's only been on it once.
Probably 10 o'clock now.
No. I lost my train of thought here. Anyway, if he comes up, play him.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bring him up to ride the bench. Bring him up here. Let's see what he can do. Is he a defensive downgrade from Kowser? Probably. And Cedric Mullins, definitely. But why have him come up here and be a guy that gets to sit there like a bat boy and watch baseball for free?
And
do what you got to do. Get him in the lineup. Bybee's a tough righty. He's on the mound tonight, so it's not going to be an easy task. By the way, I don't know if you saw it, everybody, but Kerstad got plunked 3 times yesterday.
Yeah, and then he got kicked out.
Then he got thrown out.
Yeah.
And Mamba got kind of lit
up. That's what
too.
I was just going to say. So, I mean, he made 2/3 of an inning. Hyder says, well, he only went 39 pitches.
And it was hard contact. Yeah. He wasn't walking anybody. He got kind of shelled around. But the Orioles rotation, is it a trouble? I think warning signs are there. Same with the bullpen. By the way, if you want Jesus Luzardo, forget that. One of the 60-day IL with a lumbar injury in his back.
Ugh.
And he had already been shut down earlier with elbow tightness. And he was always a very precarious option for me. Now it's a hard pass because he's not even going to be back until after the trade deadline. No pun intended. I mean, Garrett Crochet. Could you revisit Zach Flats? I know Nolan's probably going to hard know that one. Signed a one-year, $14 million deal with the Tigers, who's having a really good year. But we look back at his Oriole tenure, which was 3 months, and he was bad. Had a really good start in his first one against Toronto, and then it was pretty much all downhill from there.
How about reunion with Gausman?
That's too expensive. That's a way too expensive.
They're going to be definitely
They're toast. How about a more realistic one? Could be a reunion with Tanner Scott. What do you think about that one there? Quick draw, McGraw.
Wouldn't hate that. Be interesting. You don't see that often, a guy rejoining a team via trade, a guy that you, traded yourself. And I'm assuming that, I think it goes without saying, what they would give to get him in return would not even be close to what they initially got by dealing him to Miami.
And he's had a good run in Miami. The command's a little bit better. I don't think he's constantly throwing darts on corners, but he still throws hard, and he could be an asset to a team that's going to need relief help, especially relief help from the left side with Danny Coulomb out until September, and that's an optimistic return time for him. So the Orioles get swept in Houston, so that's that. Now you flush it, as Hyder said. Get ready for the first place and really good Cleveland Guardians. Tanner Bibee 5-2 with a 365. Cade Povich still searching for that elusive first win. Granted, what's he have? Three starts at the major league level. So he didn't seem flustered by Yankee Stadium. I would assume he'd be nice and relaxed here. Oriole Park at Camden Yards, 6:35 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight. Salvo Auto Parts, Laugh and Pickles. Been over a week since we've been there. Yours truly and Ryan Ripken getting you ready for that one. We'll come back, talk about the Ravens because training camp's less than a month away, which is wild, wacky stuff. But Vinny's going to do an exercise here throughout the show where Zach Orr's taking over as the defensive coordinator for Mike McDonald, who is now the head coach with the Seattle Seahawks. And we'll look back to 2022, first few weeks under Mike McDonald, and how the Ravens struggled there. But are there differences? McDonald was a coordinator, right, at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
He had been with the Ravens as a linebackers coach. The one thing we'll keep going back to with Zach Orr, I guess, is he's never called plays before.
That's going to be the key thing. And the thing that, Mike McDonald, he started, Joe Flacco was who he started with. Whereas Zach Orr gets the defending Super Bowl champs.
And then we got Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 coming up tonight. As Edmonton, as Vinny said, not only won Friday night, won convincingly. Uncle Mo, as they say, is all on their side. And the NBA draft is Wednesday. It's like the season just ended. Now we'll draft. Then they go to the Olympics. That'll be training camp. I mean, come on, man. Let's slow this thing down, old Father Time. 5881057 The Fan here on this Monday. I hope you had a great weekend, everybody. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Complain about the Orioles. We'll listen to that. Complaints are real, released for the weekend. As Grace Rodriguez, he got teed off on. So did Webb. So did Dylan Tate. Orioles put up 11 runs. Next two games, scored two. Both on Jordan Westberg's solo home runs. Now we get to see Heston Kjerstad back at the major league level. Question is, what's his role going to be? Everybody's healthy in the outfield. Does he play? Having him up in theory, okay. But if he's not playing, it's like out of sight, out of mind. So get him in the lineup and a right-hander tonight, as we said with Bibee. Put him in left field, put Mullins in center. Put old Tony Taters out there in right field. And, O'Hearn will be your DH. Moo man, take a break.
Yeah, go
take a
go
night
work on your
take a night off. Get yourself straightened out here because it's been struggle city for him after he was rookie of the month in April. But again, bringing him up is great. But if he's not playing, what has it really accomplished? Just takes him out of the lineup because he's been raking that at AAA. We know he can hit AAA pitching. We'll talk to John Mioli from the Baltimore Banner, 11 o'clock. Does he become a liability for them defensively in the outfield? And we'll see. I mean, because the bat can make up for so much, but if the glove doesn't play and the Orioles put a premium on defense because they're one of the best defensive teams in baseball. They don't want to give away free runs, especially when they're deep or their pitching staff is decimated by injuries. So you can't be just doing these sorts of giving things to the opposition. Cleveland's in town. They're one of the best teams in baseball, 49-26. Stephen Vogt, probably the front runner for manager of the year in the American League. By the way, a guy that just recently retired as an active player. So he must have been very impressive in his interview. I mean, I think he was playing last year. He was an all-star with the A's, a catcher, if you don't know who he
catchers,
is. So, you know. Oh, how about Espada and Brandon Hyde having the old love in there?
Oh, I saw that.
Brothers-in-law.
Yeah. No, I they had a nice thing before pregame, I think Saturday or something, where they had the whole family, and it was kind of cool how they met. And I mean, they've been friends for a long time. They worked together for a lot of years, and then I guess they were in Florida, you know, and Hyder had to go away, and he stayed. He said, I guess that's where he met my wife's sister.
Well, that's all very touching. The fact they swept the Orioles probably got him a little bent, but I'm sure they'll laugh about that on Thanksgiving and other holidays. So if you want to vent about the Orioles, we can certainly listen to your venting. Say they suck and Hyde's terrible and everything's going to be, the sky is falling. I think that's going to be a short-sighted way to look at things. They just ran into a buzzsaw in Houston. That's what happens. And, you know, everyone gets the gaffe every now and again. How many straight series have the Yankees lost? I think it's three. Going back to the Dodgers, so they still maintain that game and a half advantage over the Orioles, but the injury concerns, I think, are real for Baltimore in the pitching side especially. I mean, that's an issue. Think about it. Kramer, Wells, Bradish, Means. Gone. Two for the year. Three for the year, excuse me. And Kramer trying to rehab his way back from a tricep. Not exactly instilling confidence into the front office, I'm assuming, here.
No,
so
and
the pursuit is on.
Yeah, and that puts a ton of pressure on Elias, because what does every team know? They know that you need pitching, and they're going to ask for the moon.
And they're not the only team that needs pitching.
Everybody does.
St. Louis is looking for pitching. Yankees are looking for pitchers. The Dodgers are looking to bolster the rotation. Atlanta's looking to add starting pitching as they've had injuries there. So this is going to be an interesting thing to watch unfold. Yeah. And what's Mike Elias going to be willing to sacrifice, as we've talked about a thousand times? Lizardo's gone. Do you go Garrett Crochet, whose first year as a starting pitcher, who's already had Tommy John surgery? Cal Quantrill's name's now linked to the Orioles in Colorado, maybe getting away from that air. Out there at the Mile High City could do him well. Do you revisit Jack Flaherty, who had a, let's just say, less than stellar three-month Oriole career last year, who the Tigers are looking to shop as they have fallen out of contention? And as we talked about, and I brought up Gausman to you off the air last week, he would be a nice little try to reunion piece. He makes too much money.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to go that route just based on finances.
Unless Rubenstein says
Stein.
Damn, I say that all the time.
Think of a beer Stein.
Yeah.
Always think beer.
Rubenstein. Stein. If Rubenstein, you know, he could say, hey, do what you got to do, Mike. Hey, if that gets us there, go do it.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets that sort of clearance, given the fact they've got others they need to take care of in-house before they start to, hey, if they could do it, it's not my money. If they can afford to do it, make it happen.
Well, to me, right now, Bob, it's all right. You know, there's guys we got to take care of, but how do we go win the World Series? I mean, if you need Kevin Gausman, go get Kevin Gausman.
Well, the thing is, Flaherty would be a rental.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he'd like to come back here. He's like, it kind of sucked there last year. Gausman, I'm assuming, would be like packing his own bags to get to Baltimore. But yes, it is about winning that World Series. Perfect world, you want controllable players, but we don't live in a perfect world.
Right.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Orioles get swept in Houston. Indians come to town. They're on a heater. They just swept the Toronto Blue Jays, who have been, you know, colossal disappointments here in playoff team. We forget it. 22-23. They made the playoffs. They were dismissed quickly, but that's a team that's got a ton of talent. Not a lot of guys hitting. And right now they're seeming to, I don't know if they've quit. They're trying to get out of Dodge. They read the tea leaves, even though the GM there says we're not trading Vlad or Bichette, but others could be had. I mean, they spent money. Think about that. They went outside Springer. They gave Gausman all this dough. They've signed free agents, and it hasn't paid off for them in championship glory. Romano's hurt. They're closer right now. Spending money, Vinny, you should know this from your Redskins days, does not guarantee success. Let's go to Kevin in Falston. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Hey, I think the answer is due south, like way due south in Mexico. I think you got to beat Trevor Bauer on line one.
Well, I mean, apparently that's a non-starter. He just struck out 19 guys the other day, by the way, down in the Mexican League. But, you know, we've met many baseball writers who cover the sport a lot closer than we do, said that, hey, he's almost untouchable in a napalm way. And not to mention the fact that he's not exactly the greatest teammate and could be somewhat of a clubhouse issue, too.
Well, yeah, I know what's the old saying about desperate times call for desperate measures. I mean, worst case scenario, he's not going to be that expensive.
He played for the league minimum. Rocco Bacco wrote about this morning. You don't think Elias is doing his due diligence on this sort of thing? And by the way, Kevin, there's 29 other teams outside the Orioles that could use a Cy Young award-winning pitcher as recently as a couple years ago, and nobody's sniffing this guy.
Nope.
Well, Bob, let's not go crazy. Let's make it 27. I don't think the Marlins or the White Sox are...
Well, it's more like 25. Yeah. Let's narrow it down a little bit.
There you go. That's fair. All right, just a thought, guys.
All right, Kevin. Have a good one. All right, yeah, we brought up Bauer before, and, you know, pitching, he'd be one of the top 10 starting pitchers of baseball if he came up. But he hasn't faced major league hitters in 2 years. And he's already talking about lawsuits against Major League Baseball, which probably doesn't help his cause.
No, that doesn't help. And you know Major League Baseball. And Bob, they know a lot more than we do about what Bauer's done and what he hadn't done.
Yeah, that's what we were just saying. I mean, this guy, they know what he's bringing to the equation.
Yep.
On the hill's one thing, maybe the peripheral stuff. And because this Oriole clubhouse, it's a tight unit. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's digging each other. Most of these guys came up through the system together or were drafted in the same class. You want to disrupt that? And like first question people have to answer is, what's Trevor Bauer doing? How's he fitting into the equation?
Bob, do they have anybody on the roster that has ever been with him?
Cleveland, Cincinnati. I'm not sure. I'd have to peruse the
because
roster.
That's the big, you know, because like, let's say, Bob, you're with the Orioles, you know, and if I'm Mike Elias, I say, what's he like? You know him, you've been with him. What's he like? Is he a jerk? You know, that would play huge.
Yeah, I think the prevailing wisdom is, though, that he is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Vinny at 81057. The Fan, you want to get in, complain about the Orioles, will listen, or praise them. They're still very comfortable in their position as a wild card, and they're only a game and a half out of first place. Cleveland's coming to town, however, who's kind of making a mockery right now of the AL Central, even though the Twins, talk about a streaky team. They win a bunch, they lose a bunch, they win a bunch more. Right now, they're starting to get it together just a little bit. Ravens training camp less than a month. We'll start talking about if there are concerns with Zach Orr, they're what, taking over from Mike McDonald. It's funny. Full disclosure, as I've said many times before, if you're new to the show, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We have three TVs here in the studio. Lovely studio that it is. Got NFL Network normally, Super Bowl 8. Nolan, I'll give you the Vikings at 20.
Yeah.
He still won't take the bait, everybody. Then we got ESPN, which right now is First Take, and then MLB Network, getting us up to date on all baseball news of the day. And First Takes on the middle TV. And lo and behold, there's Gary Bettman.
Right.
Sitting there on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp.
Right.
Right. Now, ESPN / ABC, they're kind of the, and Fox.
Yep.
They're the main hockey networks nationally. And ESPN ABC does the conference finals into the Stanley Cup Finals, which is down to Game 7. And over the course of hockey starts October.
Yes.
Rolling now through late June.
Yeah.
How many hockey highlights have we seen on first? We're not watching every second of it, by the way, but how many hockey highlights have we seen on First Take?
This is our First Take.
Hello?
Yeah.
But now, because you're doing the game on ABC, Disney, now you got Stephen A. Smith, and I don't know a lot about hockey. I used to be into the Caps, then I kind of got out of it. Once the strike hit in like 95, I was like, yeah, bleep you. They missed a whole season.
Yeah,
no doubt. You know what I mean? So, whatever. But I know more about hockey than Stephen A. Smith does.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, dude.
And Shannon Sharp.
But there they are, got the chapstick out, kissing that Bettman ass like a champ. But finally, when it comes down to the seventh and deciding game,
right,
which is always the most exciting game in sports, there they are.
I guess there's no basketball, no Lakers.
I mean, you don't want to hear about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese anymore, do you?
Yeah.
Jeez, Louise, stop telling me that that's something that's a big deal. It's not to me. All right, I'm going to start saying some things. And by the way, don't get me started on protesters, Norm, which happened at the Travers yesterday.
How about those cops? They all tackled him.
Get him.
Did you hear the...
And take a shower.
The fans
shave
chanting.
Your armpits.
The fans were chanting, USA, USA. And Bob, like I watched it online, and the fans are like, F you! Yeah. You know, and they're all giving them the finger and everything. It was pretty cool.
But it's I wish we had the volume on to hear Stephen A. Smith basically repeat something that somebody else obviously has written him. Hey, but the dude, see, he's got it like that. He turned out, what, 20 mil or 19 million a year?
I don't know. He's asking for 25 a year.
Hey, if you get it.
Right.
I don't money hate. I just find it funny that here's a guy. He ignores baseball, too.
Yeah. We've never seen anybody.
No.
Well, maybe we get to a game seven.
I'm sure that Manfred will be in there with all his nonsense. But, all right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Orioles get swept in Houston. Try to redeem themselves this week against Cleveland and the Texas Rangers. Ravens training camp starts in less than a month. Yes, less than a month, and we'll get into them here in a couple of minutes. Matter of fact, Todd Karpovich from BaltimoreSports.com joins us 11:30. But let's go to Maine. It's Matt. Matt, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning.
Morning.
Vinny, welcome back, man.
Thank you.
To hear you sounding strong. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glad to have you back. A couple of Orioles-related things real quick, guys. You were talking the last couple of weeks about, you know, locking up young talent and stuff. And I was thinking about, like, for me, it's got to begin and end with Rushman, just because, you know, all players sat out that year of COVID. So even though Rush is 26, I feel like he's got very little wear on those tires right now. And, you know, everything about the record changed dramatically once he was called up. I get Gunner's all world. But my thing about that is, though, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, we've got this nucleus forever and it's not something to worry about now. But I told Quick Draw, I wanted to mention something about the draft, but I'm just trying to make this point first. You know, we've got 3 years left of Rutschman, of team control. And I mean, and the consensus, like Major League Baseball wise, is you always extract maximum value trading players. I mean, Tampa has become geniuses at this. Trading guys with 2 years of control left, at minimum one, but if we say 2 years left, I mean, we got to get Rutschman under control, or basically, you know, next year is that basically that golden window of, oh man, we only got 2 years left. So here's hoping Rubenstein opens up that checkbook and starts with Adley. But
I made a prediction, Matt, earlier this season, actually when Vinny was gone. Now, I'm usually wrong. Keep that in mind. So don't take this as gospel. My prediction was within a calendar year, Adley Rutschman will be signed to an extension. Now, how much it is and length and all that, I don't know. But Adley Rutschman will be signed to an extension by the Orioles within a calendar year, because Rubenstein really hasn't even had an opportunity to spend dough. And I don't know if technically he can yet in regards to – I don't know if Angelos is still the de facto majority owner of that thing. But I would guess – that Adley Rutschman gets extended. Gunner, that's another ball game, pun intended, altogether.
And to your point, Bob, I mean, and I'll talk quick. I know people want to get into today. I feel like Adley's that unique catcher that he could very well win a batting title. And it's like, I love hear how everyone talks, you know, exit velo and all that, but Adley's a hitter, man. I mean, I don't know how many times he flares something over the second baseman or shortstop's head just to keep the chain moving, but it's just a pleasure to watch him hit and really just lead this team. I'll hang up on this point, Bob. It's a little bit of a bone to pick with Elias, and I know he gets his flowers every day, and certainly he has done a lot. But if you really look objectively at the last five drafts that he's been in charge of, certainly he's brought talent into the organization. But other than Westberg, Gunner, and Adley, the first five drafts, what really has it given us other than those three guys? And the only reason I say that is Kerstad was picked at two. He left a lot. We left a lot of players, you know, on the board when we picked Kerstad at two. With all we hear about are his defensive liabilities. And I guess my question is if they're so analytically deeply driven, how are you taking a guy at two that was going to be a long-term problem on one side of the ball? It's like we don't get to extract his offensive value because you can't get the guy on the field. And then Kowser was picked at five when there was a consensus that the Orioles really reached at five to take him. So all I'm saying is going into this next draft, it's the sixth draft that Elias and Sig will oversee. I really feel like we need to start like seeing the fruition of some of these drafts more. You know, I just don't feel like Westberg, Gunner, and Adley can carry this thing. I mean, I feel like there's still dead weight on the roster, and some of these other guys have got to start rising up, or we're going to have to start like acknowledging that maybe he's missing in the draft just as much as other teams. And I'll hang up on you guys. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right. Well, Joey Ortiz turned into Corbin Burnes, yeah, who was the National League Rookie of the Month for May. Jackson Holliday is still either number one or two in the prospect list, depending on what rankings you choose to follow. Who's already ascended to the major leagues? Did he have a glorious beginning to his career? No. Kobe Mayo, by all accounts, is going to be a stud. Samuel Basayo was not a draft pick. He was an international signee, but he's one of the top 10, 15 prospects in baseball. There's still time for these guys to evolve here and to elevate, and hopefully starting tonight against Cleveland, we'll see Heston Kerstad. The power's always been there with him. You just hope you develop and he becomes a average, maybe better than average outfielder. Remember Ryan Mountcastle, who was a Duquette draft pick? He was positionless. They have found him a home at first base. He made a great play yesterday on a liner down the line. He was a Gold Glove finalist.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be making these absolutes just yet. And a lot of these prospects, too, could become
trade bait
and acquire forces for the Orioles.
Bob, can I use one of your lines?
Yeah.
What's their record?
They, right now, a game and a half out of first place.
All right. So, I mean, where's the room at the end?
If I was going to Matt's point, though, criticize.
Right.
Where's the pitching coming from?
That's
because the younger dudes are all Povich from Minnesota, McDermott's from Houston. I mean, a lot of the Grayson was drafted by Dan Duquette. Where are the arms coming up through the system here?
That's got to be. I would imagine that's high priority. Yeah,
like immediate, ready to come in college here and dudes help you right out of the gate. We'll get into that and more. You want to join in, you can at 410-583-1057. John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. Talk about the Orioles. They get swept in Houston. Cleveland's coming to town. Whip around 11-15. And then Todd Karpovich, BaltimoreSports.com. We're less than a month away from training camp. Rookies are here on the 13th. Ravens, the needs are few. But then again, that AFC looks pretty strong on paper. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. It was hot. Like the old NFL films. Remember NFL Game of the Week used to come on?
Oh, yeah.
Then the opening little montage there. It's hot out there. And we're going to blow them off the line of scrimmage. Well, it's hot out there. It's going to be hot all week. And we're going to be hot down at Pickles Pub for Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix tonight. We go on the air at 5:30, probably get there around 4, start rolling in. Joe's going to have to get the riffraff out of our area because I guess the bouncers are on strike here at 105.7 The Fan, so we got to do all the heavy lifting no matter what it is. But we'll be there ready to rock and roll. Orioles got swept the hands of the Houston Astros. Now the Cleveland Indians, who are one of the hottest teams in baseball, they just swept the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland won five in a row, 7.5 game lead in the American League's Central Division. And, you know, Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate. They're up there in runs scored. But if you look at Stephen Kwan, who was teammates with Adley Rutschman at Oregon State, hitting 390, doesn't qualify yet because he missed a few weeks with an injury there. He's a gold glove level outfielder. They got a good ball club, and the Orioles are going to see them front and center, but the Orioles are good too. Maybe they rise to the level of opposition because they're 24-10 against teams 500 or below, even though the Astros right now are playing like a good team. They're still below 500, even with this five-game winning streak. So Cleveland might reignite a little spark in the Birds, who could be drained here by late June.
What were they projected to be, Bob?
They were third, maybe, in the division.
Yeah.
As Minnesota, Cleveland, Detroit, expect to level up. A lot of people thought the White Sox were going to be good this year. Boy, did they whip on that
one.
Talk about bad, and we'll get to the American League East report later in the show, which we encompass all Major League Baseball. They're 30 games out of first place.
That's unbelievable.
30 games out of first.
Before the All-Star game.
Yeah. Hey, Nolan, get in here real quick. Did you vote yet for the All-Star game?
Every day. Every morning. It's part of my morning routine.
It is.
Brush your teeth. Vote for the All-Stars.
Yeah, a little coffee.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
Tell the kids, get off your lawn. But I do. Throw stuff out.
I don't have a lawn.
Yeah, so. But I throw like old cans of soup and sitting in there for about a month. But, yes, you can vote 5 times a day. I'm 15 times in, full disclosure, voting. And I try to do it fairly because Gunnar Adley deserved to start. I got Tony Taters, one of my upfielders, and I voted for Mountie. Can't vote for Westy because Jose Ramirez is having a monster year.
So you're that?
I'm that
you're
guy. It's funny. Got full disclosure, as I've said many times before. If you're new to the show, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We have 3 TVs here in the studio. Lovely studio that it is. Got NFL Network normally. Super Bowl 8. Nolan, I'll give you the Vikings at 20.
Yeah.
He still won't take the bait, everybody. Then we got ESPN, which right now is First Take. And then MLB Network getting us up to date on all baseball news of the day. And First Take's on the middle TV. And lo and behold, there's Gary Bettman.
Right.
Sitting there on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp.
Right.
Right? Now, ESPN / ABC, they're kind of the, and Fox.
Yep.
They're the main hockey networks nationally, and ESPN ABC does the conference finals into the Stanley Cup finals, which is down to Game 7. And over the course of hockey starts October.
Yes.
Rolling now through late June.
Yeah.
How many hockey highlights have we seen on First? We're not watching every second of it, by the way, but how many hockey highlights have we seen on First Take?
This is our First Take.
Hello?
Yeah.
But now, because you're doing the game on ABC, Disney, now you got Stephen A. Smith, and I don't know a lot about hockey. I used to be into the Caps, then I kind of got out of it. Once the strike hit in like 95, I was like, yeah, bleep you. They missed a whole season.
Yeah,
no doubt. You know what I mean? So, whatever. But I know more about hockey than Stephen A. Smith does.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, dude.
And Shannon Sharp.
But there they are. Got the chapstick out, kissing that Bettman ass like a champ. But finally, when it comes down to the 7th and deciding game,
right,
which is always the most exciting game in sports. There they are.
I guess there's no basketball. No Lakers.
I mean, you don't want to hear about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese anymore, do you?
Yeah.
Jeez, Louise, stop telling me that's something that's a big deal. It's not to me. All right, I'm going to start saying some things. And by the way, don't get me started on protesters, Norm, which happened at the Travers yesterday.
How about those cops? They all tackled him.
Get them.
Did you hear the...
And take a shower.
The fans
chanting. Shave your armpits.
The fans were chanting, USA, USA. And Bob, like I watched it online, and the fans are like, F you. Yeah. You know, and they're all giving them the finger and everything. It was pretty cool.
But it's I wish we had the volume on. to hear Stephen A. Smith basically repeat something that somebody else obviously has written him. Hey, but the dude, see, he's got it like that. He turned down, what, 20 mil or 19 million a year?
I don't know. He's asking for 25 a year.
Hey, if you get it,
right?
I don't money hate. I just find it funny that here's a guy. He ignores baseball, too.
Yeah, we've never had, we've never seen anybody.
No.
Well, maybe we get to a game seven.
I'm sure that Manfred will be in there with all his nonsense. But, all right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057. Orioles get swept in Houston. Try to redeem themselves this week against Cleveland and the Texas Rangers. Ravens training camp starts in less than a month. Yes, less than a month, and we'll get into them here in a couple of minutes. Matter of fact, Todd Karpovich from BaltimoreSports.com joins us 11:30. But let's go to Maine. It's Matt. Matt, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning.
Morning.
Vinny, welcome back, man.
Thank you.
To hear you sounding strong. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glad to have you back. A couple of Orioles-related things real quick, guys. You were talking the last couple of weeks about, you know, locking up young talent and stuff. And I was thinking about, like, for me, it's got to begin and end with Rushman, just because, you know, he sat, you know, all players sat out that year of COVID. So even though Rush is 26, I feel like he's got very little wear on those tires right now. And, you know, everything about the record changed dramatically once he was called up. I get Gunner's all world, but my thing about that is, though, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, you know, we've got this nucleus forever and it's not something to worry about now. But I told Quick Draw, I wanted to mention something about the draft, but I'm just trying to make this point first. You know, we've got 3 years left of Rutschman, of team control. And I mean, and the consensus, like Major League Baseball wise, is you always extract maximum value trading players. I mean, Tampa has become geniuses at this. Trading guys with 2 years of control left, at minimum one, but if we say 2 years left, I mean, we got to get Rutschman under control, or basically, you know, next year is that basically that golden window of, oh man, we only got 2 years left. So here's hoping Rubenstein opens up that checkbook and starts with Adley. But
I made a prediction, Matt, earlier this season, actually when Vinny was gone. Now, I'm usually wrong. Keep that in mind. So don't take this as gospel. My prediction was within a calendar year, Adley Rutschman will be signed to an extension. Now, how much it is and length and all that, I don't know. But Adley Rutschman will be signed to an extension by the Orioles within a calendar year, because Rubenstein really hasn't even had an opportunity to spend dough. And I don't know if technically he can yet in regards to – I don't know if Angelos is still the de facto majority right. owner of that thing. But I would guess – that Adley Rutschman gets extended. Gunner, that's another ball game, pun intended, altogether.
And to your point, Bob, I mean, and I'll talk quick. I know people want to get into today. I feel like Adley's that unique catcher that he could very well win a batting title. And it's like, I love here how everyone talks, you know, exit velo and all that, but Adley's a hitter, man. I mean, I don't know how many times he flares something over the second baseman or shortstop's head just to keep the chain moving, but it's just a pleasure to watch him hit and really just lead this team. I'll hang up on this point, Bob. It's a little bit of a bone to pick with Elias, and I know he gets his flowers every day, and certainly he has done a lot. But if you really look objectively at the last five drafts that he's been in charge of, certainly he's brought talent into the organization. But other than Westberg, Gunner, and Adley, the first five drafts, what really has it given us other than those three guys? And the only reason I say that is Kerstad was picked at two. He left a lot. We left a lot of players, you know, on the board when we picked Kerstad at two. With all we hear about are his defensive liabilities. And I guess my question is if they're so analytically deeply driven, how are you taking a guy at two that was going to be a long-term problem on one side of the ball? It's like we don't get to extract his offensive value because you can't get the guy on the field. And then Kowser was picked at five when there was a consensus that the Orioles really reached at five to take him. So all I'm saying is going into this next draft, it's the sixth draft that Elias and Sig will oversee. I really feel like we need to start like seeing the fruition of some of these drafts more. You know, I just don't feel like Westberg, Gunner, and Adley can carry this thing. I mean, I feel like there's still dead weight on the roster, and some of these other guys have got to start rising up, or we're going to have to start like acknowledging that maybe he's missing in the draft just as much as other teams.
And I'll hang up on you guys. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right. Well, Joey Ortiz turned into Corbin Burns, yeah, who was the National League Rookie of the Month for May. Jackson Holliday is still either number one or two in the prospect list, depending on what rankings you choose to follow. Who's already ascended to the major leagues? Did he have a glorious beginning to his career? No. Kobe Mayo, by all accounts, is going to be a stud. Samuel Basayo was not a draft pick. He was an international signee, but he's one of the top 10, 15 prospects in baseball. There's still time for these guys to evolve here and to elevate, and hopefully starting tonight against Cleveland, we'll see Heston Kerstad. The power's always been there with him. You just hope you develop and he becomes average, maybe better than average outfielder. Remember Ryan Mountcastle, who was a Duquette draft pick? He was positionless. They have found him a home at first base. He made a great play yesterday on a liner down the line. He was a Gold Glove finalist.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be making these absolutes just yet. And a lot of these prospects, too, could become
trade bait
and acquire forces for the Orioles.
Bob, can I use one of your lines?
Yeah.
What's their record?
They, right now, a game and a half out of first place.
All right. So, I mean, where's the room at the end?
If I was going to Matt's point, though, criticize.
Right.
Where's the pitching coming from?
That's
because the younger dudes are all Povich from Minnesota, McDermott's from Houston. I mean, a lot of the Grayson was drafted by Dan Duquette. Where are the arms coming up through the system here?
That's got to be. I would imagine that's high priority. Yeah,
like immediate, ready to come in college here and dudes. Help you. Right out of the gate. We'll get into that and more. You want to join in, you can at 410-583-1057. John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. Talk about the Orioles. They get swept in Houston. Cleveland's coming to town. Whip around 11-15. And then Todd Karpovich, BaltimoreSports.com. We're less than a month away from training camp. Rookies are here on the 13th. Ravens, the needs are few. But then again, that AFC looks pretty strong on paper. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. It was hot. Like the old NFL films. Remember NFL Game of the Week used to come on?
Oh, yeah.
Then the opening little montage there. It's hot out there. And we're going to blow them off the line of scrimmage. Well, it's hot out there. It's going to be hot all week. And we're going to be hot down at Pickles Pub for Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix tonight. We go on the air at 5:30, probably get there around 4, start rolling in. Joe's going to have to get the riffraff out of our area because I guess the bouncers are on strike here at 105.7 The Fan, so we got to do all the heavy lifting no matter what it is. But we'll be there ready to rock and roll. Orioles got swept at the hands of the Houston Astros. Now the Cleveland Indians, who are one of the hottest teams in baseball, they just swept the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland won 5 in a row, 7.5 game lead in the American League's Central Division. And, you know, Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate. They're up there in runs scored. But if you look at Stephen Kwan, who was teammates with Adley Rutschman at Oregon State, hitting .390, doesn't qualify yet because he missed a few weeks with an injury there. He's a Gold Glove level outfielder. They got a good ball club, and the Orioles are going to see them front and center, but the Orioles are good too. Maybe they rise to the level of opposition because they're 24-10 against teams 500 or below, even though the Astros right now are playing like a good team. They're still below 500, even with this 5-game winning streak. So Cleveland might reignite a little spark in the Birds, who could be drained here by late June.
What were they projected to be, Bob?
They were third, maybe, in the division.
Yeah.
As Minnesota, Cleveland, Detroit, expect to level up. A lot of people thought the White Sox were going to be good this year. Boy, did they whip on that.
Ooh.
Talk about bad, and we'll get to the American League East report later in the show, which we encompass all Major League Baseball. They're 30 games out of first place.
That's unbelievable.
30 games out of first.
Before the All-Star game.
Yeah. Hey, Nolan, get in here real quick. Did you vote yet for the All-Star game?
Every day, every morning. It's part of my morning routine.
It is.
Brush your teeth, vote for the All-Stars.
Yeah, a little coffee.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do.
Tell the kids, get off your lawn. But I do. Throw stuff out.
I don't have a lawn.
Yeah, so. But I throw like old cans of soup and sitting in there for about a month. But yes, you can vote 5 times a day. I'm 15 times in, full disclosure, voting. And I try to do it fairly because Gunnar Adley deserved to start. I got Tony Taters, one of my upfielders, and I voted for Mountie. Can't vote for Westy because Jose Ramirez is having a monster year.
So you're that,
I'm that,
you're
guy.
That loyal to the spirit of the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the process somewhat.
Right. You know, that's respectable.
And I voted for O'Hearn as the DH, though.
And
I don't think any of those are egregious, by the way.
No, not at all.
No, and you mentioned it last week, Bob. I mean, talking about the outfielders, sure, Judge and Soto doing great things there in New York, but when you're trying to pick that third guy, it's anybody's guess.
I mean, how long has Kyle Tucker been out?
Way too long to be an all-star.
Tony Tater's having a monster June, leads the majors in home runs this month. And by the way, I am going to go a little homer. National League, I'm all over Jackson Merrill with the Padres. Yeah. Severna Park kid. And he's having a good year. If you look at his numbers, it's not like he's just sucking. He's actually doing some really good things for San Diego because you got Tatis leads. I think Profar is leading a vote-getter in the outfield. And, you know, by the way, newsflash, I mean, they're 500.
Yeah.
They're still kind of clanking around in the wild card like everybody else at the National League. But we'll come back. Talk Orioles, John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, whip around 11:15, Game 7. Tonight, Stanley Cup Finals. Edmonton, after winning convincingly the last two games, try to pull the stunners you heard during Joe's update. Hasn't happened in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1942. I think the Kings came from 0-3 down within this century, though.
And lost?
Yeah. I mean, they won, but they didn't. It wasn't a Stanley Cup, and they certainly didn't win the Stanley Cup. But they've come from 0-3 down, I believe, to win a series. But again, I could be wrong about that one. But we'll come back, talk to John about that. Ty Karpovich talks Ravens from BaltimoreSports.com. And then a fun house trip with Mr. Electricity. Get off my lawn, Nolan McGraw. 5880-1057, the Fan here on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. It was hot. Like the old NFL films. Remember, NFL Game of the Week used to come on.
Oh, yeah.
Then the opening little montage there. It's hot out there. We're going to blow them off the line of scrimmage. Well, it's hot out there. It's going to be hot all week, and we're going to be hot down at Pickles Pub for Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix. Tonight, we go on the air at 5:30, probably get there around 4, start rolling in. Joe's going to have to get the riffraff out of our area. Because I guess the bouncers are on strike here at 105.7 The Fan, so we got to do all the heavy lifting, no matter what it is. But we'll be there ready to rock and roll. Orioles got swept at the hands of the Houston Astros. Now the Cleveland Indians, who are one of the hottest teams in baseball, they just swept the Toronto Blue Jays. Cleveland won 5 in a row, 7.5 game lead in the American League's Central Division. And, you know, Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate. They're up there and runs scored. But if you look at Stephen Kwan, who was teammates with Adley Rutschman at Oregon State, hitting .390, doesn't qualify yet because he missed a few weeks with an injury there. He's a gold glove level outfielder. They got a good ball club, and the Orioles are going to see them front and center, but the Orioles are good too. Maybe they rise to the level of opposition because they're 24-10 against teams 500 or below, even though the Astros right now are playing like a good team. They're still below 500, even with this 5-game winning streak. So Cleveland might reignite a little spark in the Birds, who could be drained here by late June.
What were they projected to be, Bob?
They were third, maybe, in the division.
Yeah.
As Minnesota, Cleveland, Detroit, expect to level up. A lot of people thought the White Sox were going to be good this year. Boy, did they whip on that.
Ooh.
Talk about bad, and we'll get to the American League East report later in the show, which we encompass all Major League Baseball. They're 30 games out of first place.
That's unbelievable.
30 games out of first.
Before the All-Star game.
Yeah. Hey, Nolan, get in here real quick. Did you vote yet for the All-Star game?
Every day. Every morning. It's part of my morning routine.
It is.
Brush your teeth, vote for the All-Stars.
Yeah, a little coffee.
Yeah. Got to do what you got to do.
Tell the kids, get off your lawn. But I do. Throw stuff out.
I don't have a lawn.
Yeah, but so. I throw like old cans of soup and sitting in there for about a month. But yes, you can vote 5 times a day. I'm 15 times in, full disclosure, voting. And I try to do it fairly because Gunnar Adley deserved to start. I got Tony Taters, one of my upfielders, and I voted for Mountie. Can't vote for Westy because Jose Ramirez is having a monster year.
So you're that.
I'm that.
You're
guy.
That loyal to the spirit of the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the process somewhat.
Right.
That's respectable.
And I voted for O'Hearn as the DH, though.
And
I don't think any of those are egregious, by the way.
No, not at all.
No, and you mentioned it last week, Bob. I mean, talking about the outfielders, sure, Judge and Soto doing great things there in New York, but when you're trying to pick that third guy, it's anybody's guess.
I mean, how long has Kyle Tucker been out?
Way too long to be an all-star.
Tony Tater's having a monster June, leads the majors in home runs this month. And by the way, I am going to go a little homer. National League, I'm all over Jackson Merrill with the Padres. Yeah. Severna Park kid. And he's having a good year. If you look at his numbers, it's not like he's just sucking. He's actually doing some really good things for San Diego because you got Tatis leads. I think Profar is leading vote getter in the outfield. And, you know, by the way, newsflash, I mean, they're 500.
Yeah.
They're still kind of clanking around in the wild card like everybody else at the National League. But we'll come back, talk Orioles, John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, whip around 11:15, Game 7. Tonight, Stanley Cup Finals, Edmonton, after winning convincingly the last two games, try to pull the stunners you heard during Joe's update. Has it happened in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1942? I think the Kings came from 03 down within this century, though.
And lost?
Yeah. I mean, they won, but they didn't. It wasn't a Stanley Cup, and they certainly didn't okay. win. The Stanley Cup, but they've come from 0-3 down, I believe, to win a series. But again, I could be wrong about that one. But we'll come back, talk to John about that. Ty Karpovich talks Ravens from BaltimoreSports.com, and then a fun house trip with Mr. Electricity. Get off my lawn, Nolan McGraw.